I am very grateful to be among all of you in this ancient holy place. Where Lord Sri Ramchandra spent intimate months meditating on the supreme source of all love, his pleasure potency Sita. Yesterday, we were discussing the early life of Sri Hanuman. He was given benedictions by the most powerful deputed agents of the Supreme Lord within the universe. One of those benedictions was when he came to the age to study Surya, the predominating lord of the sun planet, would teach him all of the Vedas, all of the sciences, and all the various subjects necessary to empower him in his devotional service. In the Gayatri Mantra that Brahmins chant three times during the Sandhya every day, there is meditation upon and worship of Surya Narayan, Krishna, who is the very source and power of the sun. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like light, Maya is darkness. In the presence of Krishna, darkness cannot exist. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna compares ignorance to darkness and transcendental knowledge to light. When we understand who we really are, the eternal soul, we understand Jiva Tattva and Krishna Tattva, the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the source of everything that exists, in our relationship, Bhakti Tattva, that we are the eternal servants of the Lord, and to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, according to Krishna's will, is the true dharma of the soul. It is Sanatan Dharma. And this Maya Tattva, or the truths about the illusory energy, and the prakriti, or material nature. When that light of this knowledge is revealed to us, then we can see everything as it is. Srila Prabhupada sometimes defined Maya as that which is not. In other words, when we forget our own relationship with Krishna, then our conception of ourself, our conception of everything within this world, our conceptions of all our relationships with others are not actually as it is. When we think, I am the controller, I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer, nothing we see Nothing we experience through our mind or the senses is real. It's not true. The reality is Krishna is the supreme proprietor, the supreme controller, and ultimately everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. We are eternal loving servants. When the root of a tree is watered, every part of the tree is satisfied. But if we neglect the root, no matter what creative, scientific, technological efforts we make, every part of the tree will suffer in course of time. Within this universe, the source of all light is the sun, directly or indirectly. Fire, electricity, its origin is all in the power and energy of the sun. And that sun planet is literally creating light for everyone, everywhere. Without it, there could be no life. So Surya, the source of that light, is gaining all of its potencies and powers from Narayan, the Supreme Lord, who is within Surya's heart. Hanumanji, the son of the wind god, who is the source of all air, went to Surya and appealed to him to teach him all knowledge. Surya told Hanumanji that, like you, I am also very much engaged in the service of the Lord. Surya's service is to bring light to the universe on his chariot. So Hanumanji agreed that he would fly backwards as Surya was riding forward, hearing his teachings. In this way, Hanumanji learned the knowledge of the Vedas and so many branches and sciences of essential knowledge directly from Surya. And he was empowered to remember everything he learned. In the end of his education, Hanuman wanted to give dakshina, or a contribution of gratitude, to his guru. Surya was so pleased with Hanumanji. He said, I can ask nothing of you. Just your enthusiasm and determination to learn has completely satisfied my heart. This is such an essential universal principle. Because great personalities, they are entrusted with a knowledge that they do not claim to be their own. Ultimately, Krishna is the source of all knowledge. He is the Adi Guru, the original Guru. And when we are entrusted with that knowledge, and we actually have some understanding of it, and taste the sweetness and the happiness that comes from that knowledge, then we become Atmarama. We become completely satisfied. There's nothing we need of this mortal world. Our greatest happiness is just to share it with others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that the symptom of one who truly loves Krishna is they have a selfless spirit of compassion to all living beings. Krishna tells in Gita, when you have thus known the truth, you will know that all living beings are in me and are mine. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We see that everyone is a part of Krishna. Aham bija pratapita. He's the supreme mother and father of everyone. In the light of truth, we see our relationship with everything in this world. It is all Krishna's energy meant for Krishna's service. And we see every living being as Krishna's child, loved by him, deserving of our compassion. So the greatest joy for an enlightened lover of God is to share that love with others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, when he was in Varanasi, he compared himself to a fruit vendor. He said, I have come with the fruits of prema bhakti, and I have so many fruits, unlimited fruits. How many can I give with my own hands? Therefore, anyone or everyone who is my devotee, if you want to please me and satisfy me, assist me in distributing these fruits of love of God, Krishna Prem. Little Prahlad, he told, when offered any benediction from Lord Narasingha Dev, that there are certain types of yogis and philosophers who want to be in a secluded place in the Himalayan jungles to seek their own liberation. But Prahlad, by the grace of his guru, Narada Muni, felt gratitude. Here was Prahlad. He was born as the son of Hiranyakashipu, in a family of Daityas. And yet, by the grace of Narada Muni, he was given entrance into pure loving devotional service. His gratitude was, what Narada Muni has given me, I want to give others. As long as there's anyone in this world, let me be there to help them to understand you. People in this world who have riches, who have beauty, fame, strength, health, but do not have pure bhakti, they are the objects of compassion for those who do. Why should we spend this valuable, rare human life chasing after things that are going to be stripped away from us very soon? Dukalayam ashashvatam. The human birth is the opportunity to find the true treasure, the real well of eternal happiness, and to share that happiness with others. This is the nature of a person who has seen the light. They become humble by that light. There is no question of false ego, selfishness, the incessant craving to be recognized. Pratishta, the desire for recognition, fame, is the mind's way of succumbing to the ego. It's the symptom of a person who really has not tasted the sweetness of glorifying Krishna, who is all attractive, who is Bhagavan. Krishna is the supreme whole and the origin of all knowledge, strength, wealth, fame, beauty, and renunciation. And when we experience Krishna's all attractive qualities, it awakens our love. And that love is the total satisfaction of the enlightened soul. So there's no need to try to prove myself to anyone at any time. Hanumanji, he asked for the same benediction. As long as creation is here, and as long as your name is being chanted and your glories are being discussed, my Lord Ram, let me be there to serve those people. Hanuman himself, it's quite extraordinary. We find in Ramayana, he was really in the spirit of being the servant of the servant. Even when he went to Sri Lanka, he didn't get that order directly from Ram. He got it from Sugriva. And when he jumped across the ocean, he got the instruction from Jambavan. Most all of the great, great things that he did under the order of the servants of Ram. He was the dearmost and closest to Ram, but still, he was eager to be the servant of the servants. In our own sampradaya, the most elevated of the acharyas, the Prayojan Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was so close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that yet all the instructions he was receiving was through Swarup Damodar Goswami. How the greatest personalities want to be the servant of the servant of the servant, and how the lowest and smallest personalities want to be the master. Knowledge brings this light to our life, where we understand what is of true value and what isn't. So to great personalities, they are most happy by seeing our enthusiasm to make spiritual progress. Srimad Bhagavatam, what was it that Sukadev Goswami wanted? He didn't even wear clothes. He never lived in a house his whole life. He just wandered the forest, completely immersed in hearing and chanting and remembering the glories of the Lord. When he was speaking on the bank of the Ganga to Parikshit Maharaj, again and again he speaks in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in 10th canto, he glorifies Parikshit because you're so enthusiastic to hear. Your enthusiasm to hear is empowering me to speak. When we actually understand that we're instruments of grace, not holders of grace, but instruments of grace, nothing is ours but the opportunity to serve. When people are eager to hear, instead of being proud that we can speak nicely, we actually are grateful. Because of your eagerness, Krishna is so much attracted to your eagerness that he's speaking even through me. This is the mood of Shukadev Goswami. This is the mood of a preacher of pure bhakti. Not that I am the knower, but when people are eager to hear, devotees are eager to hear. Krishna wants that message so much to come to you that he's even willing to speak through me. So Surya was so happy because Hanuman was so eager to learn. He said, that has completely made me satisfied. But Hanuman insisted he wanted to give him something more. And Surya, he said, my son, who is an expansion of myself, is Sugriva. The son of Rikshiraj and the brother of Bali. Be his friend. Be his protector. Through every situation in life, be at his side. Hanumanji made that promise. Srila Prabhupada explained, what is actual gratitude and love? When we take initiation, when we take vows, our actual love for Krishna, for our guru, for the previous acharyas, is shown in our gratitude, that in whatever situation that may come upon us, we remain faithful to that vow. Because true love becomes purer and purer when it is tested by circumstances. And that is why Krishna allows so many challenges to come in our lives. They are opportunities to grow. Opportunities to go deep into understanding what true gratitude actually is and to express it through our words and the choices we make in our life, moment after moment. So Sri Hanumanji came to Kishkindha Kshetra. And there he became the dear friend and minister of Sugriva. Meanwhile, Lord Ramchandra was traveling from the Ramayana. We learn he was exiled from Ayodhya along with Sita and Lakshman. He lived very happily in Chitrakoot. Bharat came, begged him to take the throne of the kingdom. But Ramchandra, as an act of true gratitude to his father, and to show the world the highest principles of dharma, detachment. True gratitude can only come when there is detachment. It is such a sacred principle. Rupa Goswami tells that we should accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable. That means detachment. The willingness to endure the difficulty of giving up something that may even give us happiness and comfort for a higher purpose. To please Krishna, to please Guru, to please the Vaishnavas. So Bharat returned to Ayodhya. Ram, Sita, Lakshman lived in Chitrakoot. Ultimately, they enter the Dandakaranya forest, and in the holy place of Panchavati, Ravana stole Sita away while Rama and Lakshman were chasing after the golden deer. When Ram returned and found Sita gone, he was searching everywhere. In his search, he came across Jatayu, a great devotee and a dear friend of Maharaj Dasarath, who was very old. Even though Jatayu understood, he did not have a chance of saving Sita. He was not willing to live and see this injustice happening in front of him. And with all the power, all the force within him, he fought against Ravana. Ultimately, his wings were cut, and he lay there bleeding as Sita embraced him, crying in gratitude. He gave his life for her. Ram was so grateful to Jatayu. On that very day, he sent him back home, back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha. He was willing to suffer and die for his devotee. Ram and Lakshman, in separation of Sita, traversed hundreds and hundreds of miles. And eventually, they came upon one enormous, monstrous personality. His name was Kabanda. His body was as big as a mountain. His arms were about 8 miles long. He had one eye in the middle of his chest. And he had a massive mouth that was in the place of his stomach. And he was roaring. Not like that. And with his arms, he was taking handfuls of elephants and tigers and all sorts of buffaloes and just shoving them in his mouth constantly. And he grabbed with one hand Lakshman and with one hand Ram. And eventually they cut his arms off. And Kabanda he told Ram and Lakshman, dig a hole and burn my body. And they did. And a beautiful demigod, a celestial being, came out of the smoke. And he explained that due to he was actually this beautiful demigod with incredible intelligence and a very beautiful bodily features, enormous wealth, but he was proud. And there was a sage who kind of looked ugly, so he made fun of him. And it was due to his false pride. When we think we are better than others, that's a symptom of a serious disease. We may, by the grace of Krishna, have greater fortune than others. But if we understand that it's the grace of Krishna, we do not consider ourselves to be better than others. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is offering his obeisances, his dandavat pranams, to the great avatars of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the Panchatattva, to their associates, to all the great self-realized saints, and to all the readers, and even the brand new devotees. He's offering his obeisances to everyone. And Srila Prabhupada explains, it's coming from his heart. That's the symptom of a great person. When we have false ego, it's just a matter of time till we make offenses. And when we make offenses, we lose our position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he raised both of his arms and he gave a simple order. He said, I will deliver anyone who just does two things. Always chant Krishna's holy names and do not criticize others. So simple. But because of the false ego, it's very difficult. So the blessing of this great sage is he put him in this body of Kabanda to learn his lesson. And then the Deva told Rama and Lakshman that you are searching for Sita. She has been kidnapped by another, and you have been exiled by your kingdom. You require to make alliance with someone who has realization of the feeling of what you're going through. Sugriva is one of the chief of the monkeys. He has been exiled from his kingdom. And his wife, Ruma, has been abducted and is under the captivity of his brother Vali. No one in the world could understand what Sugriva is going through better than you, and no one in the world can understand what you're going through better than Sugriva. If you help him to get his wife back and his kingdom, then he will search the entire earth over and over again, relentlessly, until he finds Sita and brings her back to you. And his minister, Hanuman, is the most empowered, transcendental person who could do anything. Not far from here, there is a lake called Pampa. It is so beautiful. Kabanda explained pages and pages of Valmiki Ramayana, the beauty of Pampa Sarovar, the types of trees and flowers, fruits, the birds, varieties of birds and the songs that they sing. And it is there at the Rishyashringa mountain, or Rishyamukya mountain, close to Pampa Sarovar, that the great sage Matanga Rishi was living with his disciples. And one of his disciples, an old lady from an outcast family named Shabari, is still waiting there Her guru, Matanga Rishi, took all of his disciples back to the spiritual world, but told her to wait for you, to serve you, offering his pranams. Kabanda, in his celestial form, went back to the heavenly worlds. And Rama and Lakshman came to Pampa Sarovar. There, he saw some caves on the bank of the lake and also a little straw hut. And sitting on the ground, on a little kusha grass mat, was an old emaciated lady, Shabari. She was wearing just the bark of trees. Her hair was matted. She was constantly, with tears in her eyes, chanting the holy names of the Lord. When she saw Rama and Lakshman, she immediately recognized them. Because by the grace of her guru, she was meditating on Ram coming for many, many years with such anticipation, eagerness. Srila Rupa Goswami, he tells that the price of Krishna consciousness is this eagerness. It's an eager cow. Hare Krishna. This is very auspicious. And to cultivate this feeling of separation makes us very, very eager. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha prabhushayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Feeling your separation, Govinda, the whole world is like a dreary void, and each moment is like a yuga. But in that eagerness of separation, how much intensely he was chanting the holy names of the Lord, how intensely he was eager to serve the Lord. Shabari had such faith in her guru. She knew that Ram would come. Years and years and years passed, and she sat there just doing her meditation and doing her seva. And now the fruit of all of her prayers, of all of her sadhana, had manifest. She had the chance to personally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She offered him, after offering her dandavat pranams, she offered him a sitting place and offered him prayers and gathered some of the forest fruits to satisfy Ram and Lakshman. According to the story that we often hear, there was a particular fruit. Whether it's ripe or unripe is impossible to tell by seeing it or touching it. You can only understand if you taste it. If it's unripe, it's bitter, and if it's ripe, it's sweet. So in her enthusiasm to serve Sri Ram, she would take each little fruit and take a bite of it. And if it was bitter, she put it aside for herself to eat later. And if it was sweet, she took it out of her mouth and presented it to Ram. Now, according to the standards of deity worship, this is very offensive. But because of her love, Lord Ramchandra accepted the saliva of her mouth as the sweetest part of the fruit. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna tells that fruit, flower, water, even a leaf, if it's offered with love, I will accept it. It is the love that makes everything sweet for Krishna. She was so poor. She didn't have nice plates. She didn't have nice house. She didn't have nice food. But she had love. And for Ram and Lakshman, they were completely satisfied with her love. And she told her whole story to Ram. And Ram wanted to see, what did the ashram of Matangarishi look like? So Shabari gave him a tour. Lakshman and Ram were walking beside her. And she showed him, this is where they performed their yajnas. Because in Treta Yuga, yajna was the yuga dharma. And it was still burning. Even though over a decade had passed since they left. And she said, and these are the flowers that they made into garlands to decorate their beloved Lord. And the garlands were still fresh and fragrant. She said, all the sages, they just wore tree bark. And here's the place where after washing their clothes, they would dry them. And there were tree bark hanging, and they were still wet from being washed. Because of their love and their devotion to Ram, everything was still fresh as it was years and years before when they left it. Just so that Ram could see it. Lord Ram and Lakshman were so happy by the simplicity of Shabari. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells that the first principle of true devotional service or bhakti is simplicity. Simplicity means without duplicity. It means to have no ulterior motives. It means to really deeply be satisfied with what's really important, the opportunity to serve. For a devotee, just the chance to serve. Whether we have millions or billions of dollars, or whether we're living on a piece of straw on the bank of a lake wearing tree bark, it really doesn't make much difference. Kalavecha Sridhar told Nimai that in my life I have seen that there is a king who eats the finest foods, who wears jewels and fine clothes, and who lives in a beautiful palace. And there's a bird who just lives in some grass, and he has the same old feathers that he wears every day, and he just eats some leaves. He said, I don't really see any difference between the two. They're both enjoying and suffering according to their destiny. And Sridhar said, but I'm happy chanting Krishna's holy names and offering whatever little service I can to Krishna. That value in life is simplicity. That makes us so dear to Krishna. King Prataparudra, even though he was the king of the entire domain of Orissa, he had a simple heart. He was happy serving Lord Chaitanya, whether he was sweeping the street or ruling over armies and treasuries. And it was the simplicity of his heart that made him so dear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this message. And Lord Ramchandra, he told Shabari, you have satisfied me by the simplicity of your love and devotion. Now you can go and join your guru again and all of your god brothers and god sisters. By his grace, Shabari understood that her life was perfect. And she, in meditation, she sat in the sacred fire. And suddenly, she was consumed by the fire, but she had such faith that a moment later, she had a spiritual body and she came out from the flames. She was no longer emaciated with matted hair. She had a heavenly celestial body with such beauty, gowned with such elegance. And then with the permission of Ram and Lakshman, she returned to join her guru in the loving service of the Lord, which was her only desire. You see, when Ram came to her, Shabari, her joy was not in seeing Ram. Her joy was in serving Ram. Don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna so that he's happy to see you. Yes, she was seeing the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead face to face, but her joy was in serving him and pleasing him. Ram and Lakshman were walking in this beautiful area of Pampa Sarovar. And they were seeing the trees and the fragrances of the flowers. It was so intoxicating. And all the animals there seemed so happy. The birds were singing. The peacocks were calling for the peahens, and the peahens were calling to the peacocks. And seeing this beautiful environment, which was so enjoyable, Lord Sri Ramchandra could only remember Sita. in this most beautiful, heavenly, enjoyable place, how can I be happy without sharing it with my beloved Sita? This is the nature of love. When we, in this world, how to see this world as God's spiritual energy, which it actually is. Krishna tells in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost, nor are they ever lost to me. It's the spirit of seva that gives us the power to see things in this way. For a great devotee of the Lord, when we see a flower, we don't think, oh, how I will enjoy this. But we think, how Krishna will enjoy this. Let me share this with Krishna. That's the nature of Ram's love for his devotee. Pampa Sarovar, such a beautiful place in every way. And Ram was thinking, how I want to share this with Sita. But in that experience of wanting to share the most beautiful things in all of creation with Sita, he was feeling separation from Sita. Very loudly, Sri Ramchandra cried. And Lakshman was trying to pacify him. That certainly, as Kabanda has told us, we will find this monkey Sugriva and we will make allies with him and we will find Sita. And Ram was seeing Sita in everything. When he was hearing the sweet birds singing and he was smelling the sweetness of the flower's fragrance and the beauty of Pampa Sarovar in the forest, he was only thinking how he wanted to share this with Sita. And his heart was breaking. Meanwhile, Sugriva, who was on the Rishyamukha mountain, he turned to Hanuman and some of his ministers and said, I hear somebody crying down there. What is this? And they jumped to a peak and they looked down to Pampa Sarovar. They saw Ram and Lakshman. They didn't know who they were. Sugriva became very afraid. They look like Brahmins with matted hair. They're wearing tree bark. But at the same time, they're very strong. Look at their arms and look at their shoulders and they have bows and quivers. They must be assistants of Bali who were sent to kill me. Isn't it true? We see the whole world according to our consciousness. When we're fearful of something, somehow or other, everything we see, we connect with that fear. If we ourselves are envious, we'll see envy in everyone, even if there isn't any. If we're lusty, we'll see everyone as being lusty. If we're greedy, we will judge everyone as being motivated by greed. And if we love Krishna, we'll see the essence within everyone that they also have the potential to love Krishna. So Bali was very fearful. But Hanuman looked down and said, I don't think there's anything for you to worry about, Sugriva. After all, you don't even know who they are. And their disposition looks very beautiful and very, very mild and very benevolent to me. Sugriva said, how can I trust anyone when I know that Bali is trying to kill me? And he ordered Hanuman, take the form of an ascetic Brahmin and go down and find out who they are. So Hanuman changed his form by his own yogic powers to look like a sadhu Brahmin. And he came down the hill to Pampa Sarovar, where he approached Ram and Lakshman. As soon as he saw them, something happened. His heart totally melted with ecstatic love for these two people. He identified himself. First, he spoke beautiful words to praise Ram and Lakshman. He was glorifying the beauty of their forms, the compassionate nature of their disposition, the way they walked, the way they talked. It was a beautiful glorification. And then he said, and as far as me, I'm Hanuman. I'm the messenger of Sugriva. I'm actually in disguise. I'm really a monkey. Please tell me, who are you? And Ram said to Lakshman, this Hanuman, he has identified himself. He has spoken the most perfect, precise Sanskrit poetry. No one can speak like this. And not only was the form in which he spoke so absolutely attractive, but the content of his emotion, his sincerity, his devotion, and his love was so deep and so real. And he's told us that he is the messenger of Sugriva, and that's who we're looking for to make allies with, to find Sita. Now, Lakshman, tell him who we are. Lakshman told the whole story to Hanuman about the beautiful city of Ayodhya, about the intentions of Kaikeyi, their exile, their beautiful life in Chitrakoot with the sages and rishis. He told about the abduction of Sita and how Kabanda, that celestial being, has informed us that we should make allies with your master, Sugriva, to find Sita. Hanuman was so happy. He said, today there will be an unbreakable friendship between the two of you. He said, get on my back and I will take you there. So Ram went on one shoulder of Hanuman, Lakshman went on the other shoulder, and Hanumanji, he jumped to the top of Rishyamukha Mountain. And within seconds, he put Ram and Lakshman down in front of Sugriva. They spoke together. Sugriva explained his situation, the pain of his heart, He said, my brother Vali, he's stolen my wife Ruma. He's banished me to the kingdom, from his kingdom. And he's constantly looking to kill me. Ram promised, I will restore your wife and kingdom. Sugriva said, I promise, I will bring back Sita. They held hands. And then Ram lovingly embraced Sugriva. And seeing this, Hanuman was so happy. The embrace of Ram and Sugriva. That immediately Hanuman started a sacred fire. Hanuman was expert at everything. He learned singing from Saraswati. No one could sing like him. And he knew every type of instrument perfectly. He could recite poetry. He knew shastras by memory. His dancing, his heroic deeds, his yogic asanas, his mastery over medicine, and his brahminical duties of performing yajnas. Hanuman was expert at everything. Not simply because he was trained in all these ways. He was blessed by Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, to have the same knowledge as him. Everything known by Surya, the sun god, was shared with him. All the beautiful musical and poetic talents of Saraswati were given to him. And the heroic powers of Indra and Vayu and Shiva were all at the disposal of Hanuman. So he performed a yajna, and Ram and Sugriva sat by that fire as he recited the incantations and mantras, so that Sugriva and Ram took vows to be allies, to help each other in life and death. Then it is explained in Ramayana that Hanuman went to cook. He was also an expert cook. He went and got some herbs and roots and fruits and vegetables from the forest. And he cooked them very nicely and served them to Ram and Sugriva. Sugriva explained his story. Here in Kishkinda, there was an asura. His name was Mayavi, and he attacked Kishkinda and especially challenged Vali to a fight. And Vali was so powerful. He said that Rikshiraj was the king of the monkeys, and he had two sons. One was the expansion of Indra, Vali, and the other was the expansion of Surya, who was Sugriva. Vali was the elder brother. And both Sugriva and Rikshiraj, they had such honor and respect for Vali's incredible powers. And after Rikshiraj retired and left this world, Vali became the king. He was so powerful. He explained some of his powers. He said, Bali, he would go to to all four oceans every day. He would go to the southern ocean and chant his Sandhya, his Gayatri mantra. Then he would jump, same morning, to the eastern ocean and do his Gayatri mantra. Then to the western ocean, then to the northern ocean. Now these oceans are tens and thousands of miles away from each other. But he would do that just as part of his morning, every day. And one day, Ravana attacked Bali. Because Ravana was looking for someone to fight with, and he heard how powerful Bali was, so he challenged Bali while Bali was doing his Gayatri in an ocean. Bali just grabbed Ravana and put him under his arm and just held him there. And Ravana's arms were coming out on one side and his legs were in another, but his face was like under Bali's arms. And Bali just effortlessly just kept him there, and Ravana with all his powers couldn't get out. But for Bali, he still had three more oceans to go to and bathe. So he jumped to the eastern ocean, jumped to the western ocean, jumped to the northern ocean, jumped back to the southern ocean, did his Gayatri mantras, took his baths, and all the while Ravana was trapped under his arm. Not a nice place to keep somebody. Ultimately, like you would deal with just a little insect, he just let go of Ravana and said, okay, now, what do you want? And Ravana said, you are very powerful, you are very strong, I can't even conceive of you. And he praised him and said, we should be allies, we should be friends, we should defend each other. So Bali said, all right, we will do. Bali was so powerful. So this Mayavi came to attack Kishkindha, and he insulted Bali. And Bali he did not like to be insulted. So he went and attacked Mayavi. It's a gigantic, enormous person. And they were fighting and fighting and fighting, and ultimately Bali was pulverizing this demon, and he ran away, and Bali ran after him with Sugriva. And they ran and they ran and they ran, and Mayavi ran into a cave. A deep cave. Bali told Sugriva, you wait outside here. I'm going in. Sugriva said, no, I'll go in with you. I'm your brother. I'm your faithful servant. I will do anything for you. I will fight with you. Bali said, no, you wait out here. And if I win the fight, then we will go down together back to Kishkindha. But if I lose, then you should seal the cave with a massive rock so that this demon Mayavi cannot get out. So Sugriva waited for a long time. They were fighting and fighting and fighting, and he could hear the fighting happening. Suddenly he heard a massive roar. And then blood was flowing out of the front of the cave. Sugriva did not hear Vali's voice. He only heard Mayavi's voice. So he was thinking, my brother, my lord, is dead. Sugriva was absolutely brokenhearted. He was weeping, he was crying. And he took a gigantic rock and sealed the cave. He went back to Kishkindha and told everyone, our king Vali is dead. Tara, Vali's wife, was weeping. Angada, Vali's son, was weeping. Everyone was weeping. And more than anyone, Sugriva was weeping. He loved his brother. He was totally faithful to him. He had no aspiration but to serve him and assist him. the ministers told Sugriva, you have to be the king. You're his younger brother. Sugriva said, no, how can I take the throne of Bali? They said, it's an emergency. Our dynasty cannot survive without a king. They literally ordered him to be coronated. And as broken-hearted and separation from his beloved brother as he was, he accepted it. And now he was living as the king of Kishkindha. After some time, Vali, it took him a while to move that rock. And he came down to his kingdom and saw Sugriva sitting on his throne. He was wild with fury. My brother, he tried to kill me by sealing me in the cave just so that he could take my wife, could take my throne, could take all my power and property to be his own. See how greedy, see how envious he is. Bali was so much in anger, he roared and attacked Sugriva. Sugriva was shocked. He was so happy to see Vali was still alive. But he was so sad to see that he was so angry. He said, Bali, I'm so happy you're alive. I thought you were dead. I was crying for days and weeks for you. Bali came to kill him. Sugriva said, I'll give you the throne back. I'll give you everything back. I'll serve you just like before. I didn't mean this. It was a misunderstanding. But Vali, his passions were so high. This is what anger can do to one. The Bhagavad Gita explains, when contemplating the objects of the senses, lust develops. From that lust attachment. When it's unfulfilled, it becomes anger. From anger, we become bewildered in our memory. When the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, we can do the things that are so detrimental to ourselves and everyone around. Sugriva was innocent. He had good motives. He only wanted to serve. But he was totally misunderstood. And Bali was determined to kill him. They were fighting, but Sugriva was no match. So he ran. He had to run away. And he remembered. Sugriva was telling Ram this story, that there was one place in the world that Bali could not go. There was a monstrous asura named Dundubi who took a massive form like a giant demoniac buffalo. He went to the god of the ocean and said, I want to fight you. He said, no, you win. He went to all these different demigods. Nobody would fight with him. Finally, they all said, you should go to Bali. If you want a good fight, he's the one to fight. So he came to Kishkindha, and they fought. Sugriva was explaining what kind of fight it was. Ultimately, they fought for so many hours and hours and hours, and finally Bali just grabbed him by his horns and threw him to the ground and punched him and punched him and punched him and picked him up and whirled him around. And then threw him down again and punched him and kicked him and jumped on him with his knees, and Dundubi was dead. And then just
be. He was so enthusiastic. He whirled around the dead body and threw him 8 miles. And it landed in Matangarishi's ashram. And large quantities of this demon's blood splattered everywhere. And it got on the sages' bodies and it desecrated their yajnas. Matangarishi was not happy. He said, I curse. If that monkey that threw this demon's body and made everything in my ashram impure by blood, if he ever comes within a 4 mile radius of my ashram, he will turn into stone. So Vali heard that. And he was traveling the whole world, but he would never come to Rishyamukha Mountain. And Sugriva was running around the world trying to escape from Vali's wrath. But he ultimately took shelter of Rishyamukha Mountain. And Hanuman, who promised his father Surya that I will always be by his side to protect him as his friend, no matter what happens, he was always there, willing to accept exile to be with Sugriva. Ram said, let us go. I will slay Bali and give you back your wife and the kingdom you deserve. Sugriva says, I know your faith and your word of honor is more precious than anything in creation. But still I'm afraid. I've seen Bali's power. Lakshman said, what does Ram have to do to prove to you his powers? He took Ram to Dundubi's bones. It was like a mountain. It was a skeleton. It weighed thousands of tons. Said, Bali picked him up and threw him. Can you pick him up, Ram? And Ram, with one toe of one foot, effortlessly kicked the skeleton, and the skeleton flew 80 miles away. But Bali was so terrorized by Bali. He said, well, you know, when Bali did it, he had flesh and he had fat and he had muscles. You just did the skeleton. But you see these sal trees? There were 7 sal trees in a row. Each of them, the width, 30 human arms, and this is Treta Yuga, would not cover the width of these trees. He said, And sal trees are extremely dense and strong. He said, Bali used to uproot them and snap them. If you can shoot an arrow through one of these trees, I can understand that you could conquer my brother. Ram smiled, and he took out an arrow, and he chanted a special mantra. The arrow went flying. I will now give a purport. He shot that one arrow. It went through one tree, another tree, another tree. It went through all 7 trees. And then that arrow, after piercing through all the 7 trees, it went down into the earth, went to the very bottom of the center of the earth,
went to Patala Loka. Then it came out again and went into the air like a blazing fire
and entered once again into Ram's quiver. Sugriva was convinced. Ram told Sugriva, go to Kishkinda and challenge Bali to a battle. Now this was taking serious faith. Sugriva went to the outskirts of Kishkinda. And with a mighty roar, he started insulting Bali. Bali was furious. Who is this little brother of mine? He's run away from battle as a coward, and now he's coming to fight me, and he's challenging me, insulting me. He ran out. And they started fighting. They were both incredibly powerful. But within a short amount of time, Bali was pulverizing poor Sugriva. He was pounding him and pounding him and pounding him, and Sugriva was suffering miserably and waiting, where is Ram? He's supposed to help me. And finally, when he was on the verge of defeat and death, he somehow or other wiggled out of Bali's clutches and ran away as fast as he could and jumped up on Rishimukha Mountain. He was bloody, he was beaten, he was bruised, he was totally exhausted, he was just laying on the ground. And Ram came. Sugriva said, I trusted you. I exposed myself to my brother's wrath. You promised me you would protect me. Why didn't you protect me? And Ram said, I wanted to protect you. He said, then why didn't you protect me? He said, because you and Bali look identical. And when you were fighting, I didn't know who was Bali and who was you. And I was afraid if I was shot, I may shoot you. So go back. And Ram told Lakshman, go into the forest and make a nice garland of roots and flowers and herbs and put it on Sugriva's body. And Lakshman came and made a garland and they put it on Sugriva. He said, now when you're fighting, I will know who you are because you have a garland on. Now go back and challenge him. Such faith. Sugriva comes down. He's already beaten and exhausted. He rested a little. And he came down some hours later and he started roaring, Bali, I challenge you to fight. You are a coward. You have stolen. You are immoral. You are the worst person. He just started saying terrible things about Bali. And Bali was even more angry than ever. And he was about to rush out and fight him and kill him. And Tara, Bali's wife, she said, there's something wrong. You should not go. Bali said, get out of my way. She stood in front of him. She said, do not go. There's something wrong here. You just defeated him. He was on the verge of death. Why would he come back to fight you again with such confidence? I have heard that there's two princes, the sons of Dasarath, who have made allies with him. They are there to help him. They will kill you. You have done so many immoral things. Your destiny will be to die if you go out there to try to fight him. Just stay here. But Bali was so much upset. His anger was, and his ego was so big. He He told Tara, I am in no danger. You don't know what you're talking about. Get out of my way. I'm going. And he rushed out. And he grabbed Sugriva. They started fighting and fighting and fighting. And ultimately, Bali defeated Sugriva. And Sugriva was laying on the ground helplessly. And Bali picked up his knees were on Sugriva's defeated body. And then with his hands clenched together, he lifted both of his hands up above his head to pound it down and give the death blow to Sugriva. Meanwhile, Ramchandra was behind the leaves of some tree, watching. And just as Bali raised his arms to smash them down with that final death blow, Ram let loose an arrow. His bow, he shot it with such force that it sounded like thunder. And it hit the chest of Bali and pierced his heart. And Bali's body was so strong and so hard and so full of power that when it hit and penetrated the body of Bali, it was like thunder that shook the entire earth. Blood came. And Bali fell down. He was laying there. He didn't know what happened. Sri Ram came before him. Bali was very disturbed. He said, why did you do that? What kind of dharma is this? Why didn't you fight me face to face? Why you were hiding behind trees so I couldn't even see you, and you killed me from that position. This is not the activities of a Kshatriya. This is the activities of a coward. He said, if you wanted Sita back, why didn't you make allies with me? I could have defeated Ravana. Ram replied, you are speaking of adharma, actions against dharma. Said, I am simply an instrument of your own destiny. Where was your talk about dharma when you created such havoc and cruelty to your brother's life? Sugriva was the most faithful servant you ever had. He loved you. He served you. You made him live in fear. You banished him to live in a mountain. And you tortured him by taking his wife as your own. Because of your arrogance, because of your cruelty, this was your karmic destiny. But because you will die from my arrow, you will be liberated of all your karma. And you will attain my abode. And besides that, I'm a Kshatriya, and you're in the body of a monkey. In this way, Bali needed that arrow in his chest to be sober enough to hear these teachings. And he accepted it. And with tears of love and gratitude, he bowed down to Ram. He said, everything you say is true. This is my destiny that you have given me. And I am grateful to you. At that time, Tara, Bali's wife, hearing what had happened, she came running out to be with her husband. And some of the monkeys who were Bali's associates, they stopped her and said, "We have to escape. Because now Sugriva is going to be the king. And because we have persecuted him for all these years, he's going to destroy us. What to speak of what he might do to you and your son? Take him away." But Tara ran to the side of her husband, and Angada came to his father Bali's side. They were weeping and crying. And Tara spoke. She spoke to Bali, who was still barely breathing. She said, "My husband, why didn't you listen to me? Don't blame anyone for what's happening. You caused so much pain to Sugriva and to Ruma, his wife. You engaged in so many arrogant, egoistic activities that caused so many offenses. This is your karmic destiny. But because beloved Lord Ram has given you, how fortunate you are." Bali turned to Ram. He said, "Please give my wife Tara all protection. And my son Angada, please give him happiness, protection. Accept him as your own son, Sugriva, and love him as such. It's my only wish." And then he told Tara that you should accept Sugriva in the same way you would accept me. And then he said to Angada, "Consider Sugriva to be your own father and love him and serve him as you have loved and served me." And then he turned to Sugriva and said, "I have made so many offenses to you. I beg your forgiveness. We could have and should have lived happy as brothers for all these years. But due to my arrogance and my anger, I have caused you so much pain. I'm sorry." Bali then took off a golden necklace from his chest. It was the necklace of the king. And he put it around the neck of Sugriva and said, "Now, with the grace of Lord Sri Ram, following the guidelines of Sri Ram, be the king and rule with all health and happiness, with the true principles of Dharma in the center." And then looking at the beautiful lotus-like face of Sri Ram, Bali breathed his last. When he gave up his body, Tara fell to the ground along with Angada and Sugriva. They were all crying. Sugriva said to Ram, "My brother,
He punished me, but he never killed me. But at the first chance I had, I killed him. And now look at all the suffering to his wife, child, and everyone else because of me.
Sugriva told Ram that Hanuman and the others will help find Sita. I ask permission. Let me take my life. I cannot live with my brother dead like this. And then Tara, with incessant tears pouring from her lotus eyes, she said to Ram, with the same arrow that has pierced the heart of my husband, please take that arrow and pierce my heart. And if you think that it's not dharma to kill a woman like me, don't think like it that way. Because I'm not different than my husband. I'm half of his body. Just consider that it's the completion of your killing of him. But I cannot live any longer. Ram spoke to Tara. Said the soul is eternal. For the soul there is neither birth nor death. The physical body is subjected to birth, growth, sustenance, old deterioration, old age, disease, and ultimately death. For the embodied being, death is certain and rebirth is certain. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire, Krishna says in Gita. But for the Atma, the living force, the soul, there is no death. I have liberated the soul of your husband. At the same time, on the physical level, he had to meet the destiny that he created for himself by his cruelty and offenses. Now he is freed from those offenses. And he said to her, you are the mother of Angada. You have duties to perform as his mother. So you stay in this world and be happy, and I will bless you, and Sugriva will protect you under all circumstances. Tara was completely pacified. Then Ram turned to Sugriva, said, if you love your brother, why don't you do something for him? Now he's dead. His soul's immortal, but his body's dead. So all your lamentation and feeling sorry for yourself and blaming yourself and all of this, what is it doing for him? Perform the last rites for him and help me to liberate his soul forever. Sugriva was pacified. And Ram promised Angada all protection for the eternal soul of his father, for his mother, and for him. There was a royal funeral. They brought a wooden palanquin and put jewels and silks and everything ornate on it. And they carried Bali. It was an incredible event with such feeling and such love for everyone. And after the chanting of mantras and offering of heartfelt prayers, Angada circumambulated the body of his father and lit it on fire. Ram told Lakshman and Hanuman, now you should coronate Sugriva as the king of Kishkinda. And Hanuman invited Ram to perform the ceremony. But Ram would not enter into the city of Kishkinda, even though it was a jungle city. He said, when I was exiled, I made a promise I would not enter into any habitated city or village. So there is a place on the banks of the Tungabhadra River where you'll be going. And it was in this place that Hanumanji and Lakshman coronated Sugriva as the king. Dark clouds were forming in the sky, and rain started pouring. In those days, monsoons were really monsoons. It was not possible to travel. Ram told Sugriva that for the months of the Chaturmasya, I will remain alone on the Prashravana mountain or Malyavanta, living in a cave. And you live in your kingdom of Kishkinda. When the monsoon rains are complete, we will search for Sita. Sugriva gave his word. When Ram and Sugriva first met on Rishyamukya Mountain, Sugriva told Ram, when he heard the story, he said, actually, not long ago, Hanuman and myself and a few other of my monkey friends and ministers, we were on top of a mountain sitting on a rock, and we saw something incredible. There was a terrible, powerful being on a chariot in the sky. And he was holding a beautiful, beautiful woman. She was weeping. She was crying. She was crying, Ram, Lakshman, Ram, Lakshman, save me, save me. She looked so desperate. She was trying to squirm out of his arms, but he held her very tightly. And she saw us sitting on the rock, and without Ravana seeing, she tore a piece of her cloth and put some jewels in that cloth, tied it up, and threw it down. I have those jewels. I've kept them in the cave that I'm living. Ram said, you have Sita's jewels? Show me those jewels. Sugriva ran back to his cave. As part of our yatra, you will go to Sugriva's cave. Where those jewels of Sita were kept. Sugriva ran out with the little cloth and untied them. When Ram saw those jewels, he knew them to be Sita's own personal jewels. Ram held them to his head and cried and cried and cried. He was seeing Sita in each of those jewels. Seeing that, Hanuman, Sugriva, Jambavan, and all others, they vowed to Ram, we will conquer Ravana and bring Sita back to you. During the 4 months of the rainy season, which actually includes now, even though it's not raining, Ram was living right here in a cave. From the mouth of the cave, Ram and Lakshman would look out and see the lightning, the thunder, and torrents of monsoon rains pouring down. They didn't go anywhere. Ram simply, constantly chanted the name of Sita, meditating on his beloved Sita's love, thinking of all their intimate pastimes together. And with such profound compassion from his heart, meditating on what she must be going through, feeling the pain in his own heart in separation from Sita, he knew that Sita was feeling even more pain in separation from him. But she was under the control of an evil, demoniac person that only wanted to exploit her. This was the meditation of Ram as he was sitting here for those 4 months. And for Lakshman, who loved Ram billions of times more than he loved his own life, seeing the pain of separation from Sita that Ram was enduring was causing the same pain and more to Lakshman. Just waiting for the monsoon rains to end. Ramchandra is Bhagavan. He's the controller of all controllers. Mahavishnu, the creator of the cosmic manifestation. Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, the creator of each universe, who Brahma is born by, are all mere expansions of expansions of expansions of Ram. Yet playing the role of a human being to perform pastimes that will enchant our hearts. And while enchanting and attracting our hearts through the drama and emotion of these pastimes, he's teaching us the highest principles of Dharma and giving us the purest example of how we should live. With the greatest integrity in every situation. As little human beings, sometimes we complain, why is this happening to me? But Ram, who's the all-attractive, all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead, when he took the role of a human being, what he went through, his own beloved stepmother, Kaikeyi, turned against him and totally betrayed him. He was exiled from his own kingdom. His father died of separation from him. His beloved wife was abducted. And he was living, waiting for the rains to end. Indra's the Lord of Rain. Indra's his obedient servant. All he had to do was say, Indra, shut off the rain. And Indra would have no choice. Bali was the son of Indra. But the Leela of Ram is so deep, so mysterious, and so beautiful. That detaching himself from his supreme power to show us and to demonstrate his love in the sweetest way, he waited for the rains to end. And how painful it was. While they were sitting up here in Prashravan or Malyavanta, Ram would tell Lakshman that waiting for these 4 months of rain to end, every moment is like millions and millions of years for me in separation from Sita. And feeling helpless. We can't even look for her in this condition. And as we have already spoken, Ramchandra, there's a murti you will see. He's chanting on beads the names of Sita and meditating upon her within his heart with such compassion. This viraha bhava or vipralamba, love and separation, is one of the deepest, most intimate mysteries in the path of bhakti yoga. Love in separation. When our beloved is physically before us, the love of our heart pours out as an offering to them. But when our beloved is not before us, in separation, that love goes inside deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, in the material sense, that love is very painful. But in the spiritual sense, Krishna is the Paramatma in our hearts. He's Bhava Grahi Janardana. He reciprocates with our love. When our love goes deeper, intensified, fueled by separation, the fire of our love blazes higher and higher and hotter, and goes deeper into our very soul. And Ram, or Krishna, is receiving that love and reciprocating with that love by giving us the most intimate ecstasy. That is love and separation. The highest ecstasy when God or Krishna is the object. It was that ecstasy of love and separation that Ram was feeling for Sita here in Malyavanta. And it was that same love and separation in the Ashok Grove of Ravana's garden in Sri Lanka that Sita was experiencing for Ram. They were together, united in the most intimate way. When the monsoons ended, Lakshman, seeing the condition of Ram tolerating these 4 months, he was really eager for the search to begin. But nothing happened. The monsoons ended, days passed, weeks passed, and Ram and Lakshman are still sitting up here on this hill in the cave. Where is Sugriva? What happened is this. Sugriva was now the king. And he had all these beautiful princesses and queens and everybody else all around him. And he had all the luxuries of Bali. And he was in Bali's inner chambers, enjoying like anything. He was drinking all these intoxicating nectars, and he was drinking all these other things, and he was eating the finest foods of berries and roots and whatever his cooks were making. And he was on golden thrones and beds and silks. He was enjoying. He was so intoxicated by material enjoyment, he totally forgot about Ram and Sita. Is that possible? Yes. That's why we're in this material world. We're just so much busy trying to enjoy and trying to struggle, we forget. Sometimes we need a serious awakening to remember what our real purpose is. Lakshman said to Ram, "Where is Sugriva?" Ram said to Lakshman, "I think he's so intoxicated by his new position as the king that he's completely forgotten about us." Lakshman was trembling with anger. He said, "I will go down and I will punish him." Lakshman walked down from the hill. He was anger personified. Meanwhile, Hanumanji, he told Sugriva, "What about Ram? What about Sita? You gave your word." Said, "You should tell Nila to proclaim to all the monkeys throughout the world to come and assemble to search for Sita." And Sugriva, by Hanuman's mercy, actually kind of woke up a little and said, "Yes, call them." So the message was out. Meanwhile, Lakshman came down because he didn't see anything happening. And gradually more and more monkeys were assembling, and they saw Lakshman so disturbed. They went to tell Sugriva that Lakshman is really angry. Sugriva, he told Anga to go out and tell Lakshman that I'll meet him a little later. "I can't meet him now. Look at me." He was in the middle of enjoying. So Angada went out, and then the message came back that Lakshman is really angry with you. What was his anger? He was for 4 months seeing Ram's emotions in separation, and here is Sugriva enjoying all these luxuries, completely oblivious to Ram's suffering. Ram's living in a cave, and he's living in the highest luxuries of the world. And it's all because of Ram that he's there. Ram told Lakshman something we should always remember. He said, "The vilest attribute of human character is to not be grateful." When we're given something and we have no gratitude, that is one of the lowest, most condensed states of consciousness. It's foundational for bhakti to have a grateful heart. If we're actually grateful, then in good in honor or dishonor, happiness or distress, pleasure or pain, health or disease, success or failure, victory or defeat, if we have an actual grateful heart, tatenu kampam susumikshamano bunjana evatmikritam, Krishna, I'm yours in any situation. How can I serve you? Let me take shelter. let me call out your holy name. Being grateful is more than just saying thank you and then criticizing the person. Being grateful is a state of consciousness, a state of unawakened awareness. Are we grateful for every breath we breathe? For every morsel of food or water? For the ability to see, for the ability to hear, for the ability to move. If you have asthma and you're dying because you can't even get one breath, you start to value what air really means to us. We're all just breathing thousands and thousands of times a day with no gratitude whatsoever. But if you're having an asthma attack, you would give everything you own just for some air to come into your lungs. So sometimes the difficulties of life are there to help to deepen our awareness of what's really valuable. If you're a devotee, even the time of death, we're grateful that we're eternal souls, and we're grateful that Krishna is here to deliver me at this moment. And this is how we should be living with every breath of our life. In bhakti, we express our gratitude through seva, not through just saying thank you. We say thank you, but if we mean it, we live that thank you. How may I serve you in every situation? Because I'm grateful. It was by Ram's grace that Vali was freed from the clutches of exile, fearing his life 24 hours a day. It was by Ram's grace that he had his kingdom, his wife, and everything around. And now he was enjoying all those gifts of Ram so much that he was insensitive to Ram's suffering. Ram was suffering the same way he was suffering, but now that he wasn't, he had no acknowledgement of Ram's suffering. But Lakshman, he considered this to be such a violation of human dignity. He came to fix it. And when Sugriva heard that Lakshman was angry, he told Tara, his Vali's wife, he said, go out. Because Lakshman's going to feel sorry for you. You lost your husband. And try to pacify him. So Tara came out and told Lakshman, please understand that Sugriva, he was without any of these pleasures for so many years. And now he's been given to him. And you know, he has a material nature. He's fall prey to his mind. He's fall prey to his senses. He has these weaknesses, but ultimately he's a good person. Just, you know, forgive him. He'll wake up. He'll be all right. He's trying to wake up right now. And then Angada said, come. Come, I will bring you to see my father. And Lakshman walked into that room. He saw all of the fine decorations and comforts, luxuries, and he saw these beautiful
females, and he saw these drinks and these foods in all directions, and he saw Sugriva laying there wallowing in pleasure.
And he was thinking of Ram sitting up there on the stone floor of a cave in separation from Sita. And he looked at Sugriva with eyes that were red. He looked like he was about to burn the universe. And Sugriva apologized. Seeing Lakshman in that state really sobered him and woke him up. He begged forgiveness and he said, "Let us go immediately to Ram, and the search has already begun. I've already called my soldiers and they're all coming from all different directions." And they all came up to where we are sitting today to meet with Lord Ramchandra. They started making plans. Sugriva was explaining all the different parts of the world that he was going to dispatch his people to search for Sita. Ram said to Sugriva, "How do you know in such detail about all these different places of the world?" And Sugriva said, "When I was running away from Bali, I ran all over the world, but I couldn't escape them. But so I saw these places. So this is a really good lesson." Even though he was in such a dangerous predicament running for his life, what he learned there he was now using in the service of the Lord. So similarly, even in our maya or illusion for so many years living in this world, we have gained so many skills and awarenesses and understandings. Now that we have come in contact with bhakti, devotional service, we could utilize all these things in the service of the Lord according to what's favorable for service. He sent one force of monkeys, vanaras, in the northern direction, and another east and west. And he told them all, "I give you 1 month to find Sita. Comb through every detail of every place. You must find her. And I will..." Sugriva said, "I will punish you if you're not back with news within 1 month." So they all started going in different directions. And then he had Angada, Jambavan, Nila, and Hanuman. And Sugriva said, "You go in the southern direction, because I think that's the way Ravana was going on the airplane." Sugriva began to speak to Hanumanji. He said, "Of everyone, I deeply believe you will be the one to find Sita. Because your love for Ram, your determination, your devotion, and on the basis of that love and devotion, your power, your intelligence, your determination, I'm sure you will find Sita." And Ram heard this and was so pleased by Sugriva's words to Hanuman. Ram approached Hanumanji and said, "Of all these devotees, I believe because of your devotion, you will find Sita." To give her confidence that you are truly my messenger, give her this ring. Ram took from his own finger a ring with his name on it. And with tears in his eyes, he pushed that ring to his heart and said, "Give this to Sita, and she will know. And tell her how I'm in this cave crying and waiting to meet her again. And I'll do anything. I will destroy all the worlds to return to bring her back if necessary." Hanuman took the ring, and then Ram told Hanuman certain secrets that no one in creation except Sita and Ram knew of their intimate interactions. And said, "Tell her this, and she will know that you are truly my messenger. And tell her my love." Hanumanji took that ring and put it to his head and departed. I think it's time for us to depart also. But we will continue tomorrow. Thank you very much.